Good morning to you. Thank you for coming. We're starting our book today. I mean, really starting the book today, the prayer of protection. We touched on it a little bit last Sunday, and so we're going to go in a little bit more in depth today. So let's just open in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've placed before us today, and we just count it a privilege to gather together here in your name and listen to just listen to what you would say to us today. I ask that you would speak to us individually. Father, it's really my heart that revelation would flow today, that you would reveal yourself to us. Just what you meant when you had the psalmist to write Psalms 91. Give us revelation. Give us understanding. I pray, Father God, it'll be preparation for the things that are ahead. You know, God, you always take care of your children. You proved that when you sent Jesus to the cross. And so we just give ourselves to you and thank you for causing us to see clearly this morning from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You know, I hope that you've read the first chapter. We're going to be doing the first verse. And I hope you don't mind, but I wrote a few things on the board over here. I tried to do it as neat as I could do it, but it wasn't very neat. So anyway, the first verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And last Sunday, let's do this before we expound on that verse some. Last Sunday, we talked a little bit about our mental diet. I hope that you thought about that this week. Because, you know, the first page, he talks about fear. Fear being in our lives. And, you know, what's feeding? What's feeding the fear? Well, it's what we set our eyes to and what we set our ears to. And maybe it's even an incident that's happened in your life that the enemy wanted to use as an opportunity to create fear in you. If you've ever had a close call out on the road, driving, you know, that's an opportunity for you to allow fear to come into your life or any other kind of things like that. And so I hope this week you did. You think about what's your mental diet? What are you, you know, setting your attention to? Because there are certainly things that we can hear that could cause concern in our lives. Is that not true? You know, there's certain things that I guard myself from to read. I have particular areas. When I used to fly quite a bit, I would never watch a movie that was about a plane crashing. I can tell you that. You know, I don't fly as much as I used to, but I still won't watch those movies. I really guard my heart when something comes up in the news about children being abducted or abused, because you can read that, and you, if you let it, it can put fear in your heart. And something else that's just been happening in the last few weeks, or maybe months, but anyway, you know, this is the time when everybody calls flu season. So when I hear people start telling, you know, and I may not even be in the conversation, but start telling that so-and-so is dealing with this and that, and it's lasted this long or whatever, you know, I find myself, I just say, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Because, you know, you have these ear gates here. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if some symptoms want to... Ever had a symptom come up in your body and you want to go to WebMD and find out what WebMD says about it and all that kind of stuff? And I'm not saying don't do that, because sometimes God will use that to show you something you need to correct or maybe do or... whatever. Now, I'm not saying don't do that, but if it's a regular habit and you become, I know my daddy used to say to me before he died, he says, okay, Dr. Cromer. Because I was only trying to help him. I'd say, Dad, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But anyway, you can look at that and you can, you ever looking at your phone and this little thing comes up and it says seven signs for some kind of cancer? You know, and you don't ever want, you know, you don't, because I'm not looking for signs for that. But you see how the social media is for us? I mean, I thank God for telephones. I think they were created by God. But it's just gone to whatever extreme. And continue to look at your mental diet, okay? As we continue to do this book and on, because whatever you learn in this book, if you're giving yourself to attention to things that can create fear, it's going to kind of be counterproductive if you think about it. But anyway, that's enough of that. Well, I do want to, the last sentence on that first page in that chapter, it says, are you ingesting and believing everything you see in the news reports? Are you living by what the Lord Jesus has purchased for you at Calvary? And really, I don't know if any of you have read the whole book. I haven't quite read the whole book. But really what this book is about is really what we have in Christ. It's really about Jesus. Why would it not be? I mean, Jesus died for us to have the protection that we have need of. And he knew what was coming on the earth. And you know, God takes good care of his kids. Really good care. And so that's what we need to be focusing on, is what did Jesus purchase at the cross? Another thing that I believe uppermost that we're going to learn from this book, and that's going to be a revelation, and you may have some revelation, but I believe it's going to be a greater revelation, is how much God loves us. That's the revelation that we're going to receive. You can say, okay, I've come because I want the revelation of how much I'm protected. Well, when you get the revelation of how much God loves you, you'll get the revelation of how much you're protected, how much you're provided for, how much you're taken care of, how much God wants you to live in divine health, wealth, well-being, when you get the revelation of God's love. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I know that God loves me, but it's another thing to have a revelation of it. And I want to share a quote with you. This morning, I tried to put it on my little board over there, but the words weren't quite big enough for those of you probably in the back. You could have read it. But this is from Mark Hankins, and this is what I really am believing for in this class. And he says, information affects your mind. Revelation affects your heart and your voice. So I've asked God, that's why I'm asking God to give us revelation. You know, just some more information will just affect your mind.
Could you repeat that again?
Okay, yeah, I will. Information affects your mind. Revelation affects your heart and your voice. I mean, I lived my life with information. You know, Dusty and I were talking about this yesterday. I mean, I really enjoy books. I said, there's this other book I want to order, and he kind of laughed. But I said, I don't order them lightly, but I like to study, and I like information. But boy, when I heard this, I said, okay, Lord, information will affect my mind, but revelation will change my heart. And when your heart changes, your life will change. And then I want to say this. You say, well, aren't you going to get to the book? Yeah, and we'll get to the book. But I want to say this. You know, one thing that I've learned, you know, the word repentance. I've had different thoughts about repentance over the year. But repentance that I've learned in the Greek, and I can't give you the Greek word for it, I didn't bother to get it, but it only means change your mind. Repentance means to change your mind. And so my prayer for this group is that as we read and as we study and as the word goes forth, we'll change our mind. Because you change your mind, and it will become knowledge to you, but when you change your mind, it'll become revelation to you, and then it'll change your heart, and it'll change your voice. Because when your heart changes, your voice will change. Because you've got a voice right now in the situations that you're in. But when your heart changes, revelation comes to you, it will change what you speak out of your mouth. Or hopefully it will. And we're going to learn in the second chapter why it's important to use our voice. But let's go on with the first chapter here. These next two pages, page 4 and 5, I'm going to refer to a lot of the sentences because I said, Lord, this is so important. How do I pick out one portion of it and say, let's just focus on that. And it's the place of rest. And he has the scripture verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Hebrew word for dwell is yeshav, which means to sit down, remain, or settle. Now, I've got on the board up there, I've got the scripture verse at the top, but then I've got the word dwell. And I thought it might help for you to just be able to look at it as I share some of what's in the book. And so that was new to me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It means sit down, rest, quit working. I thought that was interesting. I know another thing that this class is going to do is going to challenge you. Because I've asked the God for it to have challenges. And, you know, it's going to challenge you. Because do we understand what rest means? And it don't mean you don't say nothing. I think it's a spiritual place. Let me go on. So the very first thing that God wants you to do to enjoy his protection is to rest. His protection, peace, love, and other blessings flow in a life when you are in a place of rest. You know, we talked about that a few Sundays back, finding that place of rest. And really, to me, what little revelation I have, it's resting in what Jesus has already done. He says, let's camp out on the word dwell just a little more. Let's meditate on what it means to rest or sit down. The Bible says that we're seated with Christ at God's right hand. Now, I want to say this before we go on. There's scripture verses in this book, okay? I pray that as you read these pages, you're looking up those scripture verses. But for the sake of time, we're going to just, you know, move on. Unless, if you know, we just really need to take that place. But I know that we know. All of us in this room, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The word seated is beautiful. It means that you're no longer standing and working. And then I love the next chapter because I did not know this. And he tells about the old covenant. When the priest went to offer the morning sacrifice, it was at 9 a.m. Then he stood for 6 hours. And he did the evening sacrifice at 3. Well, Christ, well, he said that's fulfilling the type of both the morning and evening sacrifices. That's Hebrews. But Jesus became the final sacrifice. The work of the priest is done, and he no longer has to stand. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, I missed the part. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours until he died. He was crucified at 9. He hung on the cross for 6 hours. And he died at 3 p.m. I'm telling you, God doesn't leave nothing out. And you know what? He had to do everything legally to defeat the enemy. Everything. Dot every I, cross every T. He had to do everything legally. And this was a legal aspect that he did here. So that Satan couldn't come back and say, well, you didn't do blah, 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 blah. Okay? Because Jesus became the final sacrifice, the work of the priest is done, and he no longer has to stand. Because our Lord cried, it is finished at Calvary, John 19:30, we're today seated in Christ, Ephesians 2:6. Isn't that awesome? That was awesome to me. I think that was part of one. When I read this first chapter, I don't know why I was, but I was a little emotional in some places. But this to me was God's love, because he did that through Jesus. Now, not only did Jesus go to the cross, but God was just very detailed. He said, I got to cover everything. I got to do everything to restore my kids back to me. Bring me back into fellowship. I love that. We can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, safety, and security, because the blood of our Lord Jesus has paid for every blessing of protection in Psalms 91. So on the board over here, you can see that I quoted the verse, and then I have dwell, means to sit down, remain, or to settle. And you know what? If you've got great revelation of resting, good, great. But you know what? I need more revelation of really what does it mean to rest. Because I tell you, religion teaches you to work. And that's all I'll say to that. Let's go to the next page. Again, he says, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, safety, and security because of the blood of Jesus. Now, what Jesus did was a completed work. And we have free access into the presence of El Elyon. And I put that up on the board, the Most High. And we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, or El Shaddai. And we go on down a little bit further, and he explains, but when you're resting in the presence of El Elyon, God Most High, and I put that on the board as well, the possessor of heaven and earth. I wanted to see that. I wanted us to see that. You know, the secret place of the Most High, that's El Elyon. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And it means from Genesis 14:19, that he's the possessor of heaven and earth. Doesn't that change things? El Elyon, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. That's where we're dwelling. That's where we're resting, in that secret place of the possessor of heaven and earth, El Elyon. And then I went on and put El Shaddai. Now, I'll tell you what I thought about El Shaddai. I think we used to do a song years ago that had El Shaddai in it. And I'll tell you what I related El Shaddai to was provision, financial provision. I was very limited in that, thinking about El Shaddai. Because, you know, we go on and hear that he's God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. All-sufficient. But I don't know where I got that from. But El Shaddai, when I'd hear the word El Shaddai, was all my needs. But I related to financial and material and, you know, that was, so this kind of opened up my eyes a little bit more. But under the shadow of the all-sufficient one, all-sufficient. And what does all mean? All. And sufficient. Not all lacking, but all sufficient. So when we read this scripture verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, we could say he who dwells in the secret place of the possessor of heaven and earth. I'm resting in the secret place of the possessor of the heaven and earth. See, this expounds it. This makes it a little broader, a little more, I think, clearer to me. You know, the Most High. Who's the Most High? Somebody asks you, you're telling them about Psalms 91. They're going to say, well, who's the Most High? You can say El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. And then you say to them, and you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, who's Almighty? It's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. So when we go before the Father and we pray this prayer, I mean, if there was no other verse, I would consider myself covered. If there was no other verse to go with Psalms 91. And you know what? God wants us to understand what we're praying. And I'm thankful for a book like this, because this was, I remember one time someone listened to a CD that I let them borrow, and it was a minister. Their comment was, well, that wasn't learned sitting on the riverbank. In other words, there was lots of hours put into this. And, you know, there's much revelation. You know, and I look past that it's Joseph Prince. I don't care who it was. There's tremendous revelation here that, you know, I don't have need of. I mean, I don't have understanding of, but I have need of. And so I'm thankful for it. that God's opening up our eyes so that we can see clearly and showing us the mystery of Psalms 91. Because I tell you what, if the Lord tarries, we're going to really need this. We are. I'm not a teacher of doom and gloom, but this is preparation. And what does Pastor Rob say? Preparation time is never wasted time. He says, all of a sudden, our adversities don't seem as intimidating after all. When we think of El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, and El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. But I think the greatest thing that this is doing for me, and I'm going to give you an opportunity here when we get done this little section right here to, you know, make some comments. But the thing that's, I always saw Psalms 91 is protection against car wrecks, accidents, you know, just being safe out and about. And it's about that. But then it moves into every area of our lives. You know, you pray Psalms 91 before the day, and you should do that. But I would say that that's to protect my kids and my grandkids and family and whoever else I was praying for from calamities. But as we have read that little testimony of that baby, I mean, it covers every area. Psalms 91 is to cover every area of our lives. And Jean shared a testimony last week how the Tuggles used it when there was layoffs in work and all. And so, you know, I think, wow. He goes on to say, my prayer for you is that your perceptive of God will be enlarged by the power of his living word. And couldn't that be our prayer for us? Our perceptive of God. And for me, it's understanding that it's God's love for me that he has Psalms 91 for us to pray and decree and declare, you know, over our lives. I mean, we're covered, folks. I mean, now we're talking about Psalms 91. We could talk about the blood of Jesus. You know, we could talk about other things, but, you know, today we're talking about Psalms 91. So before we go any further, I've got time. Anybody want to make a comment about this section here? We're not going to do it on every section, but anybody have anything they want to say? If not, we'll move on.
Perry Stone teaches that that when David wrote this psalm, mm-hmm. that that David would go and he would get near the... My mind's gone blank now. The mercy seat where the angels, you know, and he teaches that David would go and lay as close as he could to that under the shadow of those wings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, that's all about intimacy.
Yes.
You know, that he wanted to be so close to God. Of course, God came down. When God would come down on that mercy seat, mm-hmm. I mean, power would, his presence would bring power
yes.
there. You know, that's why they couldn't touch it, is because it would actually electrify that.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a picture in my mind of how much David loved the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to be so close to him. He wanted to dwell in the presence of the Most High.
Yes. Well, a few chapters over, we're going to do a chapter on Under His Wings. And he teaches on that. And it's really precious. It really is precious. Okay, let's go on. I don't know what you thought about the testimony, but I thought it was awesome. Just tremendous. And I love it because there's testimonies throughout the book which brings... what we're learning kind of brings home and we can relate to. I highlighted a couple things. One, the grandmother said, I don't even know if my daughter knew or had any idea of the power of putting that psalm above his incubator. I don't think she knew. I don't think I don't think I would have known. But I'm learning. I'm learning. And I loved it where the doctor says, I don't even think he realizes he's supposed to be sick. Wasn't that neat? But Psalms 91 was working. Mm-hmm. It was working in this child's life. It was just working. And so therefore, you know, in God's sight, can we put it this way? In God's sight, he wasn't sick. He was healed. He was made whole. But I love that. I don't even think he realized he's supposed to be sick. And then the very last paragraph of that, God took little Caden into that secret place where he was safe and received healing. I saw firsthand how the world could not harm him, and he's now a walking testimony of the power and love of God. And you know what I believe? As we get the revelation of Psalms 91, we'll be in that secret place, and the world won't be able to harm us. You know, diseases coming up on the earth where man says we have no solution for. And whatever. We are taken care of. We have to remind ourselves of. We are taken care of. You know, financial crisis that come up on the earth, we have to know we're taken care of. Let's go on. We're going to go down to the section in the secret place. Is a secret place for a select few. Above that, he says, there's healing power in the prayer position, prayer protection. I must have been pretty ignorant about Psalms 91. When I would do Psalms 91, I can't tell you that I saw it as healing power in Psalms 91. So if you did, praise God, let that reinforce that in you even more and more and more. If not, then you join me with that. Now, it's a secret place for a select few. I hope you read that. I'm not really going to take the time to discuss that. We're going to go to page 8, and the only thing I'll read from that section is, in that paragraph, if a blessing is from the Lord, everyone can have access to it. You may have heard that over the years, been taught that, if you came out of a church that maybe would have taught that. I'll never forget being in the Church of the Brethren, and I'd heard this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. Have you ever heard that? And I'll never forget, I can tell you where I was at, and I might have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it was just like, it just dawned on me. Revelation came. I thought, that is not scriptural at all. You cannot find that in the scriptures. So, you know, it's those kind of thinking, and this was a denominational church, so it's those kind of thoughts that we get from being under religious teaching. And so, you know, he felt the need in this book to address this. Thank God, you know, we've been in a church for a lot of years that doesn't, you know, teach that. And so, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that read this book that, you know, have questions about that. The secret place is in Christ. I want to ask a question. When you would do Psalms 91, where did you think the secret place was at before you read this? I mean, I didn't know. I'm saying, I didn't know it was in Christ. I don't know where I thought it was at. Can anybody share any thoughts on that? I mean, I just read it. I thought, oh, okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High.
Somewhere in here, uh-huh. And I can't point to it, but it's in this chapter. He says the closer you get to Christ, the more revelation you'll have of his love for you. Mm-hmm. And I could kind of relate to this, thinking that, you know, there were a few people that I could think of that were there.
Yeah.
And that the rest of us were somewhere, but not quite there. And I realized...
I kind of thought the same thing, Judy.
I realized that you don't pluck it out of the air. You've got to spend time. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to hear. You've got to listen to things. Gene and I are doing more and more of this, and I find myself wanting to do it more.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to be honest, there's a time when I didn't really care about hearing somebody preach a sermon.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all been there.
TV. I'm going to just be real honest with you.
Yes.
You know, there were things, you know, library books and stuff like that. But I find myself, the more we're doing it, the more I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a decision to draw near, because God hadn't moved. He's right there. It's us that have all these different things we can choose from.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think I kind of looked at it that way, too. There was a select few. And so we could go back to the one where he says... is a secret place for a select few. I think maybe when I read it, I wasn't quite sure I fed in that category. Now, the enemy, that's from the enemy. Because he wants you to think that you don't fit, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. He'll tell you what you're not, and God will tell you everything that you are. You know, so if you're having a battle in your mind, you got to look at it. Am I being told what I'm not, or am I being told what I am? And so,
I think I understood what you're saying. But when I used to, I still read Psalms 91 for this, but I always looked at Psalms 91 as protection.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
And then this book really brings
all of that out. But where's the secret place?
With him.
Yeah. And this is what, but I can't say that I always saw that.
Me too, Linda. And I always thought maybe I wasn't there in my spiritual walk.
Yeah.
Or good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But there were people further along. So they were there, but I hadn't reached it.
And I hope to get there.
Yes,
so see, this is why this book's good. We got to see that this is for us here and now, and it's for everybody. I pray. You don't know how much I pray that this book exposes the lies of the enemy that we've believed for years. Let's go on. Let me tell you where the secret place of the Most High is. The secret place of the Most High is a place where you are in Christ. And I put that on the board. Wouldn't you agree that being in Christ is to be in the safest hiding place? Okay, then you can say, what does it mean to be in Christ? Yep. What does that mean? But, you know, that's not, you know... to me, being in Christ is being in everything Jesus paid for me to have. In Christ, I have wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that we are in Christ, and in Christ, I have wisdom. In Christ, I have righteousness. In Christ, I have sanctification. And in Christ, I'm redeemed. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. You can read that or make note of it. But that's who I am in Christ. In Christ, I'm forgiven. In Christ, I'm made whole. In Christ, I'm complete. In Christ, I'm healed. And that is a secret place. That is a secret place, so much of a secret, that a lot of the body of Christ does not know that. Do you realize that? A lot of the body of Christ does not know who they are in Christ. That's why we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we can see clearly. The reason I can say that, I have spent quite a number more years in that place of not knowing than in knowing of who I am in Christ. And I mean, I was here at this church. But I would go as far as to say I had received religious teaching in my previous church that lied to me all the time. telling me I couldn't be in Christ because
so much
of
the body of Christ is in churches that teach you're not worthy.
Yeah.
You know, you're a worm, you know.
You haven't worked hard enough, you haven't done this enough, you haven't done that enough. You just ain't done nothing enough. But you know what? We don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. All we gotta believe. All we gotta do is believe. Man, I'm telling you. So, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't understand what it means to be in the secret place in Christ. And I've been one of them. And I'm just now beginning to really see. But it is the safest hiding place. When you know who you are in Christ, and you know the enemy comes against you, and you can say, wait a minute, devil. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of my obedience, but because of Jesus' obedience to the cross. Not because of my works, but because of Jesus' works. That's what puts you in Christ, is believing that. But it's such a safe place, because then the devil has to shut his mouth. Because it's the Word. So it's a safe place. I can see the wheels turning. I am so glad. And I'll go so far as to say it wouldn't bother me if something I said made you mad. Because you know what? It stirs you up. I remember Bob Goad saying one time, you can really tell when somebody preaches if the anointing is on it, when it stirs people up. When it stirs you out of your complacency. And I have to tell you, I have asked God to let me do that. That's how important I believe that this is for us to understand. Because we're going to learn far more than we're protected and kept safe. Yep. So, you know, anyway. I want God to just love on us. It said, wouldn't you agree that being in Christ is the safest place, safest hiding place? How did you get in Christ? By receiving the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Once you're a born-again believer, our Heavenly Father sees you in Christ. As Jesus is, so am I in this earth. And when he looks at me, he sees me in Christ. And it's a safe place. Now, did you like about Noah in the ark? Did you like what he put about Noah in the ark? I liked that. He says, remember how safe Noah was when the floodwaters came? While Noah was not perfect, God saw him as righteous because of his faith in God. That's from Hebrews. When the flood came, everyone outside the ark died, but Noah and his family were protected and safe. So, you know, when things come upon the earth, you know, 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. Because of us being in the ark, he says that refers to a type of Christ. Who is our salvation, Acts 4:12. Because we're in the ark, we'll be safe. And I love his description. The ark didn't have windows along its side, only near the roof. The truth here is that God does not want you to focus on all the darkness, terror, and evil that is around you in the world. He wants you to look up and know that his Son is coming back for you. I want you to see something else. I really like this. I believe there were times when Noah might have lost his balance and fallen as the storm waters crashed against the ark. But Noah fell in the ark. He never fell out of the ark. It wasn't a place for him to fall out of the ark. The windows were all up at the top. Isn't that neat? He never fell out of the ark, but he fell in the ark. And then he goes on and say, that's for us today. When the devil tempts us and we fall, we don't fall out of our position in Christ. We got to know that. When we fall, what does the accuser of the brethren do?
He tells you you're going straight to hell.
Yeah. He condemns us.
Yeah.
Or maybe not so much going straight to hell, but because of what you did, you know God can't use you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God can't.
Why did you do that, you sorry thing?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to understand, he is the accuser of the brethren. I'll tell you what, I was deceived in that area to the point, let me tell you where I was at, and then we're going to have to stop. I thought God was showing me what all was wrong with me. And I finally, there's a few times I said to God, I said, God, you got anything else you want to show me that's wrong with me? And I would be kind of angry doing that. And I said, and the thing of it is you show me what's wrong with me and you won't help me fix it. That's the shape that I was in. Well, then as I began getting a revelation of who I am in Christ, I began to realize, you know, the Holy Ghost, well, I'm not going to open that up because that will open up a can of worms, I bet. I'm not going to say that. God never bothered, God, you know, don't tell you what all is wrong with you. He'll tell you what's right with you. The devil's the one's the accuser of the brethren. I had my things mixed up, and it came from some stuff I was taught, some religious thinking that I had. And so, therefore, brought much condemnation into my life. But as I have learned of who I am in Christ, you know what? It's shutting the mouth of condemnation towards me. And so, when I fall, I realize I don't have to be condemned over it. Because he refers to the scripture here, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. But you know what the key to that verse is? The righteous man. We're all righteous, but do we have a revelation of our righteousness when, I put it this way, when the rubber hits the road and you've got mad at somebody or you've fussed or you've done something wrong, what do you do? Do you fall out of the ark and let the devil accuse you and tell you how bad you are and condemn you? Or do you stay in the ark and say, Father, I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And don't be condemned, but say, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. Let's talk, God. Let's talk about it. But if you're condemned, more likely you're going to pull away because you've fallen out of the ark and you've fallen out of that place of safety. And so we're going to close with that. Thank you all very much. As you can tell, we haven't finished the first chapter. We'll finish it next week, hopefully. But if you want to go on and read the second chapter, just to be prepared, or if you want to read the whole book, do what you'd like to do. Thank y'all so much.